Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome you to our worship service today. And I'm Larry Gilbert, pastor here, and glad you are all here. So, hey, how about that John A. Logan men's basketball team? Wow. A national title. That is just amazing. We're going to hear a little more about that a little later on in the worship service, but just wanted to do a shout out for that. That was incredible. Those of you online may not know that John A. Logan, men's basketball team, won the national championship for junior college yesterday. So just a thing. What a nail biter of a game, too. Boy, that was a great one, wasn't it? Yeah. Hey, and we're still in the season of Lent. So how is your Lent discipline going? You know, I have learned something about myself, which is part of the reason we do Lent disciplines. Many of you know I did this kind of 40 days of kindness thing. I've learned I'm not nearly as kind as I thought I was. Honest to goodness, it's been a lot harder than I thought.
What kind are you?
What kind am I? Well, I'm not as kind as I'd like to be. So you know what? But that's the reason we do Lenten disciplines. To learn about ourselves, to learn about our relationship with God, and to see those opportunities that we have to grow in our relationship with God. So all in all, mine's not good news in many ways, but it's working. And so I celebrate that. Celebrate all of you being here this morning. Celebrate those of you who are watching online today. Let's begin our worship service by singing our gathering chorus, 393, Spirit of the Living God.
Two times.
I invite you to stand as you are able. Like a prayer.
Here, and I'm seeing familiar faces that I haven't seen for quite a while. Nice to see Jason and Rebecca Washington. And they've been members, were members, and nice to have you back visiting with us. And their little girl has grown since the last I've seen her. Anyway, the announcements this morning. We invite you to join in the special Lenten and Holy Week services. The notices are on the screens out there. They are on Wednesday. I'm not sure, where are they? Where is the service Wednesday? What church?
It's listed in the bulletin.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right. And I want to also remind you, today is a special day for Doris Kiesley and her celebrate her birthday. So we want to remember that, and she's having her family's having an open house for her this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the community center. There you go. There you go. But it's nice to have your family with us, and we'll see more later on today. This afternoon at 2 o'clock. There are clipboards that are being passed, and if you haven't seen it, make sure you get to it before the end of the service or before you leave the worship service. There is on there a sign up for the Women's Prayer Luncheon, Saturday, May 6th, 2023, 9 o'clock to 11:30 a.m. at Grace United Methodist Church in Carbondale. And for those of you who may not know, Grace is out on the west side of Carbondale on the old 13. So put that in and see. Teresa, there she is. Teresa, for payment of tickets, they are $15 a piece, but see her. Pardon me?
Pay me.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, pay Leah. She's the one that's kind of coordinating the efforts for our church anyway.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see if there's anything else we need to mention. Take note of any of the weekly events that are regularly occurring in our weekly activities. Maybe the weather is going to be good enough so that more will get out and walk. So at Logan, or not at Logan, but at Cannon Park. So put that on your calendar as well. All right. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? I don't see any frantic waving of my hands in the air. Maybe at this time, is it appropriate to ask Jake for information about the...
Let's hold on that.
Okay, that's good. Just want to make sure everybody's aware of it. All right, if there are no other announcements then, let us turn to begin our worship service and... those of you who are at home and would like to light a candle at this time to show the celebration of light with Christ in our lives. If you would now, please join in the call to worship is in your bulletin. Soldiers are people who give and take orders. Does that mean
they are not responsible for what they do?
And if you would now join in our opening hymn, number 861, Come Thou Almighty King, verses 1, 3, and 4. Let's stand.
We're going to sing the chorus that we sing each week as we move to this time of seeking God's guidance. It's in this little black book at number 2226. So I invite you to open the little black book and go, join with us as we sing together the chorus, Bind Us Together. Together, we continue to walk into a future, and I want to bring you up to speed on a couple of things that's happened this week. Several things that happened in the church council meeting on Monday evening, and one of them was through the Staff Parish Relations Committee recommendation, we increased the salaries of our church staff. Some of our church staff were making less than the kids at McDonald's who worked there, and so I'm excited about that and so glad that that happened. We added a staff position. Our financial officer is now a paid staff member. And so we did that as well. And as we do these kind of things, you know the old saying, money doesn't grow on trees. You know what I was thinking? If you actually grow and have an orchard, doesn't money kind of grow on trees? Anyway, it doesn't really matter about that. But that kind of stumped me this week. I was thinking about that. So anyway, you know what? We added some money to the budget this week. And in order to cover that, we need to add some giving to the offering plates as well. And so I announced to the church council and I announced to you that since I came here, I have tithed the income I received from this church back to this church. And I'm going to add to that $50 a month starting in April as my part of trying to help do what needs to be done here in the life of the church so we have a future and can move forward. Most things cost money, and our future is going to cost that as well. So I just offer that and say, I encourage you to think about that and to pray about that as well, whether you can be a part of that to help to support this in the life of our church. And as many of you know, because it was announced on the news, much to many of our surprise, we received a grant this week for a little less than $95,000 through the state. It's a security grant, and that's the only thing it can be spent for. The grant was put together by our security team, and we received word on it just a few hours, actually, before it was announced on TV. So anyway, we're setting up a group, a committee, that will have supervision of that grant so we do it correctly, and then the security team will be making recommendations. And I don't know what we're going to do with, and we may not spend all of it. It doesn't really matter. But excited to have it and to get it, and you'll be getting more information as we move along with that. Week after week after week, I remind us that change sometimes is not easy, but it is necessary. God is changing us. We need to trust that. Step into it, embrace it, and move forward with it. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty and gracious God, you don't let us see the future. And that's good, because we wouldn't know what to do with it. And I'm sure we would be frightened of it. But Lord, you tell us to trust you, because you do know the future. And so, Lord, we do. We put our faith and our trust in you, that you not only have us individually, but you hold us together as a church. Help us to embrace the future that unfolds before us as we give you thanks and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. This time I'd like to invite our prayer leader to come forward and share from the prayer book, and then after that, we will continue for a few more weeks to pass the microphones around for those can share as well. Steve?
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
I don't think that's been turned on this morning. Well, I did turn it on.
How's that? Nope. I'll just talk loud.
I got you.
Well, there's just two of them anyway. We'll make it short. Joys and concerns for the week. Jay Kernelman would like to announce the John A. Logan men's basketball team, national collegiate champions, and there will be a conference or a meeting to welcome the team at 3 o'clock at the auditorium today. So hope everybody can come out and welcome them home. That's quite an accomplishment. 31 wins in a row. Is that right, Jake? That's phenomenal.
Awesome.
Oh, outside in front, because it's such a great day. Awesome. Dick Runge would like to announce his grandson, Brian Kelly, was accepted to dental school. Awesome accomplishment. Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Thank you. All right. For those of you who have other prayer concerns you'd like to share, if you would hold up your hand. Doris, I can't imagine you have anything to share this morning that would be significant.
Well, you know me. I take after my son, you know, like to be in front of the microphone, I guess. I want to, my niece Patty and Doug Holcomb is here today with celebrating with me, and they're going to sing for us. I told her she ought to know by now that whenever she comes to visit me, they have to sing, and there used to be five of them, three kids with them, but they, you know how kids go, and so they're here today. I want to lift up David's mother-in-law, Judy Nichols. She is not doing
well. I think I died.
I think you did too. All right, thank you. Wait a minute, right back over here.
John's cousin, Mark Etherton, he is from Carterville. He is having a aorta replacement tomorrow. Valve replacement. Good news is they can go through his groin and they won't have to, that will make it easier.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Anyhow, keep him and his wife, Susie, and their sons, and their daughter-in-laws. His daughter-in-law, you all might know her, is Tiffany Etherton, who works at Regan Palash Funeral Home.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Family in your prayer.
Thank you very much. Others? Yeah, Olivia?
John's home bounced back, doing very well. He was over-exuberant this morning, took a shower and thought he was coming to church, but the shower did it.
Okay, all right.
I got good news Thursday. I'm no longer in therapy, and I have to use my walker, but that's my decision.
Let's hope that's a good one. All right. Couple right here.
I
I want to thank everybody who showed up for the annual mopping party in the basement. We all had a great time and got a lot of water up off the floor, and one of these days maybe we'll figure out how to fix it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I started my regiment as far as the radiation goes. I actually don't get the first dose of radiation until this coming Monday. But please keep me in your prayers, and thanks so much for all you've done so far. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just real quick, please keep Doug's aunt, Rose Howerton, in your prayers.
All right. Thank you.
This week I was talking to Sarah Gieselman, and she and John are they don't have pneumonia, and it's not COVID, but it is bronchial, and she could hardly talk for coughing when I talked to her the first time. I talked to her again Friday, and she's doing much better. John had been to the doctor while I was talking to Sarah the first time. One of the kids took him. She wasn't able to go. But she just asked if we would lift them both up in prayers.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's be in an attitude of prayer then. I invite you to be in prayer in your pew. But if you'd like to, feel free to come up and join us at the altar this morning. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you this morning, Lord, giving you thanks and praise for the blessings that are a part of our life and a part of our world. We thank you, Lord, for just amazing things this morning, Lord. Celebrations that are a part of our lives and our world, and they come in so many different ways and so many different forms. We lift that up. So thankful, Lord, to have extended family with us this morning, gathering in celebration. And, you know, Lord, it just reminds us that life isn't about the things that we get. It's not about the things that we have. It's about the people who are a part of our lives and what a blessing those relationships are. God, we're thankful for that this morning. And as we gather to worship you this morning, God, you're the relationship that we are so thankful for. You're the relationship, God, that speaks into our lives in so many different ways. And we are who we are because of that relationship. And we give you thanks and praise. God, there are those that we remember in our thoughts and prayers this morning. Those that are celebrating, but Lord, there are those who are struggling as well. Struggling in a variety of different ways, God. And Lord, we lift them up to you. Some of them have health concerns. Some of them have other concerns, Lord. And many of them, God, we don't know what their concerns are. Because so many times, Lord, the things that really trouble us are not the kind of things we stand up in a group of people and talk about. But they're just as real. Sometimes even more real. So, Lord God, we lift them up to you. You know them, God. And so, Lord, we don't have to know them. But we ask you, God, to continue to pour your Spirit out upon each of us, God. Help us, Lord, to draw close to you. God, hear our prayers as we offer them to you this morning. And God, hear our prayer as we, your people, come together now, praying the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, Our second hymn is hymn number 292, What Wondrous Love Is This? We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. You may remain seated. Hymn number 292. This morning, our offering plate is located in the back of the sanctuary, in the vestibule back there, as well as giving online as an option. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer, Almighty and gracious God? On Sunday morning, when we think of offering, God, we think of financial offering. And Lord, that is a piece of the puzzle, but a far larger piece is the offering that we make of our time and our talents. That is such an important part of the life of your church. Would you bless, Lord, the giving this day and that comes this week? Would you help it, Lord, to grow your church and your kingdom that we might be fruitful for you? In your name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning are taken from two sources, Mark 15, verses 16 through 20, and then I'll skip to Mark 15, verse 39. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
We are blessed to have some special music this morning, and I'd like to invite those who are providing that to come forward at this time. Could someone from the back bring forward a microphone that is functioning this morning? We may not need it to hear you, but the folks who are online will need it to hear you. I'm not sure where to put this. All right. I'm going to try to put it here. Let you guys move it wherever you'd like to, okay?
We're going to sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," one of Isaac Watts' most popular hymns. It's actually in your hymn book, number 298, if you would like to follow along.
So much. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Thank you. So we're continuing through the season of Lent, looking at the different groups that are a part of the Passion of Christ experience. And one of those groups is the Roman soldiers. I'm thinking about a scene that happens in every playground, on every schoolyard, all over the United States. It's a scene of a little boy who walks onto the playground in the morning, planning on just going to school, and suddenly finds himself surrounded by a group of much larger and older boys. They quickly herd him to a quiet corner, and the leader steps forward and makes some kind of demand. Maybe they want a little bit of money he has on him. Maybe they want a favor. Maybe he doesn't want to do anything else but to humiliate and to abuse. I say it happens all over the country. Actually, it happens all over the world. This idea of being a bully, of taking advantage of those who are victims, to those who fall in those situations. You know, this has risen to be a big deal in our society over the last few years. I applaud our education system, which has so aggressively tried to address this issue in the schools, because it is so damaging to those who find themselves victims of it over and over again, because they are unpopular, because they are unliked, because they are small, because of whatever reasons there might be that cause that to happen. And yet, it persists because it is our nature, unfortunately. And it's not something that's new. It's always been around, and it's always been with us. The biblical story has actually several accounts of bullies in it. One of them is our favorite and famous story of Goliath. Goliath was basically a big bully. Goliath was the kind of guy who had always had the advantage because he was big. And so on this occasion, he steps out and wants to fight one other person who he knows will be much smaller than him in a battle. And in that, he sets up a contest which is no way close to fair or equal. But he does it because he is a bully. Another bully out of the biblical story is King Herod. I'm thinking of the King Herod who was king when Jesus was born. That King Herod. There was a guy who was obsessed with power and control. It is well documented that he had several of his family members killed because they threatened his power, because they threatened his control. And if you remember the biblical story, after he learns of the birth of Jesus by the Magi, what does he do? He sends armed troops into a region to kill every male child, 3 years old and younger. The sufferings of others mean nothing to him. What he does to those innocent children mean nothing to him. He is only concerned about his power and his control and making sure that that is absolute and never challenged. He's a bully. Rome was a bully. It wasn't necessarily a bully to its own citizens. They had rights and privileges that other people didn't have. But as they conquered vast areas of the known world, Palestine being one of those areas, Jerusalem being one of those areas, they treated those people like bullies through fear and intimidation and threats. They worked across the world and the globe with the same kind of behavior of having overwhelming and excessive violence in response to even the smallest of fractions. All of those things are characteristic of what means to be a bully. So what is a bully? You know, because it's popular in our society right now, if you Google bully or bullying, you get like a gazillion articles and definitions, and it's actually, when you think about it, it's one of those things, it's a little bit like pornography in that the difference between pornography and art is a little bit hard to explain, but I kind of think I know it when I see it. Bullying's a little bit that way. It has the same characteristics of a lot of things, but when you see it, you know what it is. One of the things is it's intended not to be and intentionally set up not to be a fair contest, whatever it is. The victim, whoever it is faced by overwhelming force. They have no chance of actually being in a situation where they're going to win. Another is that it is all about control. Usually it is about controlling a situation or controlling an individual or getting an outcome that you want to get. It is almost always excessive. For the smallest amount, huge things are put in the obstacle of that or put in the way of that. And it involves threats. It involves intimidation. It involves humiliation. And that's how it's done, and it's done in all kinds of forms all over the place. You see it in our adult world in gangs. You see it in our adult world in organized crime. If you don't do this, then we will come back and do this to you with that threat and that intimidation. But it's hard to define because there are other things that look a lot like that. For instance, parenting. You're like, what? Yeah, really. Have you ever been driving in the road, down the road, and maybe as a child, and the person driving the car says, if I have to stop this car, you're going to be sorry. Isn't that a threat? Isn't that a threat? Yeah, that's a threat. Yeah, if you're listening to it, you know, hey, that's a threat. And it will come with very negative consequences. And so there's a threat involved in that. Is it an equal or fair conflict? No. The parent really has the situation underhand. And isn't it about control? Who's in control here? The kids who are going crazy in the back seat or the parent who's driving the car? You know, that's kind of the issue. So it has a lot of elements of bullying. But to understand it, you've got to go one more. What do you want as an outcome? What's the desired outcome in this situation? If you're a parent and you're disciplining a child, the desired outcome is for the benefit of the child. Now, maybe they're grabbing the door handle in the back. Maybe they're just rowdy and it's distracting the driver. Could be a lot of things going on in there. But this is about what's good for them. Maybe they need to learn something about their own self-discipline. Or they need to have a boundary established in their life. But the reason that you do the things that you do is for their benefit. There's a proverb that's a lot of times misquoted. It's Proverbs 13, chapter 34th verse, that a lot of times it's misquoted. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not what it says at all. You know what it says? Discipline is a profound act of love. And a child that is loved will be disciplined. That's what it says. And so to discipline is an act of love. Bullying is not discipline. Because bullying does not want that outcome. It seeks its own thing. It's either for sport or amusement or because I want what I want and I can force you to do it and get it. It's never for the benefit of those who are receiving. It's always for the benefit of those who are giving it. And that is one of the things that sets it apart and makes it so different from everything else in terms of what we're looking at. You know, in Jesus' day, the Roman soldiers were bullies. We read it in the text today, if you listened. What did they do when Jesus was arrested? What did they do? They took him to where the soldiers lived. They took him to their quarters. And how did they treat him? Now, they saw Jesus as a helpless Jew. We know that wasn't the case, that Jesus could have stopped it any time Jesus wanted to. But Jesus had a job to do, and he did that job for us. So from their perspective, it was one helpless Jew against dozens and dozens of armed Roman soldiers. And so what did they do? They physically abused him. They beat him. They hit him with rods. They hit him with their fist. What else did they do? They humiliated him. They took his clothes off of him, put other clothes on him, took those clothes off of him, and put other clothes on him. Taking a person's clothes off is one of the ultimate forms of power, control, and humiliation. I can do whatever I want to you, and you can't do a thing in the world about it. That's what that says. It says they called him names, they mocked him, and they spit on him. All of those were the actions of a bully. All of those were excessive. All of those were the Roman authorities saying to Jesus, but to all of the Jews, you cross us, we'll nail you to one. That's how we get even. That's how we live with you in this world. And that's how that government kept control and power. So that when the Roman soldiers walked down the street, everyone got out of the way. No one challenged them unless they wanted to get killed, unless they wanted to die, unless they wanted to be tortured. Because that's how they kept control, through fear and intimidation. And that's how a bully lives, and that's how a bully acts. As Christians, there is no part of that behavior that should ever live in our world. Everything we're taught through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is about a behavior the opposite of that. It's about a behavior of compassion, about a behavior of understanding, about a behavior of loving our enemies, about a behavior of grace, about a behavior of forgiveness. All of that is opposite to that. And while it is not our teaching to be bullies, what we all need to understand about ourselves is it is our nature. Trust me, nobody has to teach you how to do it. You know how. And all of us, if given the right set of circumstances and the right set of situation, will turn to that. If we don't discipline ourselves and force ourselves to pull back from it. We've always had them because we are programmed to be that in our world. Christ calls us to be something opposite of that, to be something totally different from that, so that we never are a part of bringing that into our world or into our lives or into the lives of others, because there is nothing Christ-like about it. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. Lord, we just invite your presence to be with us. That as we live our lives, we would understand who we are. But we might also understand whose we are. And that your love and your grace might so shape and mold our lives that some things that come natural to us become unnatural to us. That we reject them because they are not like you and they do not reflect the life that you call us and ask us to live. Lord, may your blessing be upon us as we look to you for guidance and direction in this and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 397. I invite us to stand as you are able this morning and join together in singing hymn number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour, verses 1, 2, 3. The first three verses, 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Almighty and gracious God, we go forth from this place, Lord, with a calling upon our hearts and lives to live the life, Lord, that you call us to live a life, Lord, that reflects your grace, your love, your mercy into the world in which we travel. Lord, help us to be that in our world and in our lives, Lord. Help us to be your light, your salt, your yeast in the world. Send us forth, Lord, as your disciples. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, have a great week this week.